Okay, so here we go. After a bit of a break, we were actually last time we left mid Sif over there. Resh Pei Sif Aleph. We discussed Resh Pei Sif, which I guess on the source sheet is page one, I would assume. Yes, there it is, page one. Okay, so we were discussing last time the issue of when there are tears. And how you would put those tears back together again. So the Shulchan Aruch said that you would need to sew it, and you would need to do like the full tefillah, the full sewing, with the using giddin, like using the and going all the way in. So then the Ramah, however, says no, v'yishom shenogel l'tiferes b'meshi, that we have minhag to use other things, and that's our minhag here. But the best is to use giddin if possible, and there are those that even say that it's mutter to ledavik alav klach miluchutz. I'm in the middle of that Rama, right? To sew it from the outside, wherever it would be permissible to sew it. Meaning, if you could sew it, so then you can glue it, and that would be okay. Last time we discussed the shach over here at the bottom, in the shach and sif zayin. See, he takes issue with that. He says in the middle that I don't think that really you should. There are those who prohibit it, and he says, in my opinion, I think that those people make more sense. The people that prohibit using the glue, but everybody does it, and who am I to go and paskin that it is prohibited when all these people had said it was permitted? But if somebody's going to be machmir regarding their own sefer Torah, that's considered even better. Betavol of bracha, and they should, you know, they'll get a bracha. And just the bottom line of the shach here: v'nira im kasav miksas os al hayiria umiksaso al ha. Talai hareza pasul divrei akol. He says, but however, if you have a situation where half the letter is on the parchment and half the letter is on this patch that was put in behind, so that everybody would assume would be prohibited. That for sure would not be okay. So that's the position of the shach. However, if you take a look on the left side of the page, in the taz, so the taz actually is makel on this, or seems to be makel on that case. That where should we pick up from? The Taz goes on to the next page, and the Taz claims that the part that's underlined there, he says Valkain Vadai Shapir. I think that is mutter. Yachul Lichtov Os Achas Ksasu Al Yiriyah V'Ksasu Al Aklaf Kinir Mivur Kavanas Hamaarik. And that seems to be the position of the Ma'arik Sham v'Rayaso Mimasha Amru b'Yerushalmi v'Dovkin b'Devek, based on a statement of the Yerushalmi about sewing things together. Ella she Mem Vav Ches. What does Mem Vav Ches stand for? So she Mem Vav Ches is Mori v'Chamosi. I don't know if the new Shulchan Aruch people have that spelled out or not, but my father-in-law. So who was the Taz's father-in-law? It wasn't just anyone. The Taz's father-in-law was the Bach. So the Taz says that the Bach, however, he disagrees with him, right? That with the Taz, kasadim kasav miksas haos al yaria v'ksaso al hatulai. That if you have part of the letter on the parchment and part of it is on this patch, so harei pasul l'divrei hakol. Everybody would assume that would be prohibited. Da filu heicha shenikra haos be'emtza. That plus wherever the tear is in the middle of the letter, afal pisha devek, even though you sewed it machziko, you've strengthened it, even though the glue strengthens it together, pasul, still going to be pasul, kivan she'eno mukaf gvil, plus it's not surrounded by the white parchment. So afal pisha kola os al hayri, even though the whole letter might be in place. Kol shekein kishen mixas haos al hayriya umixas al hatlai, certainly, and that's just when you put it together. When you sew a tear together and everything's on the actual parchment, certainly when part of the letter is on the area and part of it is on the patch, such that if you would tear the patch off, you would have half the letter on one part and half of it on the other part, so that would be prohibited. Right? So the Taz is disagreeing with that. He continues on and says, I think it's not the sew. The Chaven Shah Klaf Hadavuk Mahani Lamasha Kasava Love, right? That if the klaf is glued together, that works with regards to what is written on it. Vahava Kinichtav Al Hiriya, right, Lama lo yowel, and it's like it's written on the parchment itself, on the section, why shouldn't it work? Gam kein lichtuv chetzi al zeh v'chetzi v'al zeh. I mean, if we considered one thing, such as if you have a letter that is, a word that is divided into two, so why should it matter if a letter is divided into two? So that's the position of the Taz. However, the Shach is, Shach is Machmir, his father-in-law, the Bach is Machmir, and if you notice at the end of Adkan Lashono, at least on the copies that I sent you, there is the half moon and the star, right, a parenthesis and an asterisk over there. So that sends you to the Nekudas HaKesef. So the Nekudas HaKesef is on the left side. The Nekudas HaKesef is the arguments of the Shach against the Taz, right? So the Shach is, Taz is his commentary, the Shach is his commentary. I believe they came out around the same time, and then the Shach wrote his, often, most often, objections to the words of the Taz in what's called the Nekudas HaKesef. So there he says, V'ein dvar muchachim, because I, you know, his words are not correct, at least I don't think his words are correct, and therefore the Shach disagrees. So I think that that is generally the psak. Like the opinion of the Shach that while we would allow for patches to be used over the course of a Sefer, over the course of a Sefer Torah, we would not permit it to divide up and separate different words, right? And that's actually what the Ramah says here. The Ramah says in the top of this page, he says, "Vim nechlak shum os aydei hakriya." If any letter is torn by way of a kriya, psul, it's going to be pasul. And it doesn't matter that you might sew it or glue it from behind. And certainly when you use the needle, so the needle certainly should only be around the writings. It shouldn't be contained within the writing. So there are also, right, you can't divide up any letter, right? A letter cannot be cut off. So comes the shach.
If the letter is wholly within the patch, then it would be okay.
Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, right?
Yeah, not H-O-L.
Right, so if the letter is within the patch, so we assume that that is okay. That is what the Shach was not happy about. Hello, Michael. That is what the Shach was not... That was Shach argued about. But he said, well, what can I do? Everybody has these patches, and I'm not going to be making them. So he pointed out last time that most Sifrei Torah, the new modern Sifrei Torah, you're not going to see too many patches in there. I don't know if that's because the klaf is any better. The klaf is actually softer. But I'm feeling it more has to do with that when the when you used to need klaf for a Sefer Torah and you went to Laser Wolf to get your klaf, so whatever you happened to slaughter that day, he had. And however you used to, what was the term we used earlier? To soften the klaf, what's the word? I can't believe I'm forgetting the word. We had a whole simon about this. The gvil, the sirtut, the ibud. When you're ma'abed, when they tanned the leather, so whatever came out, and that's the klaf you had. So if you happen to write a Sefer Torah, and when it came out of the leather tanner tub thing, right, it had a hole in it. So what are you going to do? So you put a patch in. But nowadays, where it's all done together, all of the mezuzahs, and we had a question about how that's permissible to do. To do a lishma of, you know, whatever this is going to be used for, whatever comes out of the tub. So if there's a hole in it, so you just cut up into smaller pieces and use it for mezuzahs, right? It's not that you're like the one sofer is going and buying the one piece of hide that the butcher happened to shech that week, right? You have a whole selection. So if there's holes in it, so you cut it up into different size pieces and use it for mezuzahs or use it for tefillin or something like that. So you don't really see patches in Sifrei Torah anymore today, but if you look in the Sifrei Torah that we have at Shul, so every couple of columns you'll see a patch. Right, Sheldon?
I don't notice anything, I think.
I think they're just slaughter more cows these days. There's probably a bigger selection.
But they also use the... it could also be that they might give it to... You know, it might also be turned into shoes, jackets, belts, or wallets, or pocketbooks, or car seats. Seats and cars, right? So, yeah, right. Okay, so anyways, so that's so that Rama, right? The Rama says if the letter is divided, so then it's going to be pasul. So if you take a look at the Shach, so the Shach and Sifches, he says v'lo dami l'mashni spire ba'orach chaim simin lamed beis. It's not like what's said over there b'sif tazayin the nifsak elcher mea osios hapshutos shehu kasher. That if one of the plain the plain letters. So what are osios pshutos? Letters that only have a straight line. So a vav, a nun, a yud, I guess vav and kufs, things like that. So if it is a straight line, it actually says that it's okay. Shukasher the hasa mayri shelo nishtanet surasaos, because there it's talking about where the letter is not changed. Aval pi shechelik velo nidbak, even though it's divided up. And it's not connected. Ayin Sham, Kein Kasavitur Yizav, Umiviyu B'Sefer Ma'adani Melech, Daf Pei Beis Amud Alef. Okay, so what is that talking about? So I put that simon on the, that's page 3 and 4 of the Ma'ar Makomos here. So So there, in Tzif Tezayin, so what's he talking about? The Shulchan Aruch says, Nifsak Ach, this is Hilchos Tefillin, of course, Nifsak Achas Mea Osios, that if one of the letters is broken, says the Rama Hapshutos, meaning Kagon, Vav, Zayin, Oshu Nifsak Regel, like the Hanun, I'm not sure why he says Nun for that. Hanun, maybe the Or maybe of a regular nun, meaning the bottom part of the, when you have a nun, so the bottom part of the nun, at least in, right, so, there we go. So if you take a look at the nun right in the middle, so perhaps you'd have a cut right in the middle of that nun so far, meaning it's going straight to the right and left, but that would maybe be, right, so what happens there? So im tinok she'eno lo chacham v'lo tipesh yodea likroso kasher. So if you have a child that is neither chacham nor is he tipesh, right? Yodea, and he knows how to read it. It would be, or he reads it correctly. It would be kasher. V'im lav pasul. Right. So what are we talking about? So if you have a long nun and there's a break in the middle, so what do you have? What do you have left? Right. So if you have a long nun and you have a break in the middle of a long nun, so you'll have a Vav, presumably, right? Or actually you'd have a Zion, right? If you take a, right, if you look at a Nun Sofit over there, so right next to it is a Nun Sofit, so it actually is more, it's like a Zion more than a Vav, right? So you'd have a Zion. So how is the child going to read that? So if he reads it as is, great. But if not, it's going to be puzzle. Ve'ein tzarech lichsos lo shar osios kamosha nogim. And certainly, and you don't have to cover up other letters like is the minhag. Now, what is he talking about covering up other letters? So sometimes letters are only, you can only figure out the size of it based on the context of the letters next to it. So, but also, that's one issue, meaning a yud, so, or vav, right? A vav, depending on the size of writing that the sofer is using. So one person's one mezuzah's vav could be another mezuzah's yud, right? Depending on what the what size font he's using. But the other concern is that if you cover one letter on one side, or if you don't cover the letters, so then you're going to be able to figure out based on the context what the word is supposed to be. So he says you don't have to here. That's his psak here. But in the Mishnah Berurah here, he says that you do have to right. He says Mishnah Berurah says v'chein kasev alavush aval magin avram b'shim arik kasev tzarich lichsos mashal afanav shim yachel mitchilas hamikra sarchea nakit v'azil v'afilu takish lola med ba'osa parsha afilu haki tzarich lichsos lo mashal afanav ate v'zu. Right, he's going to figure out based on the context, and even if he's never learned that, he could still figure out what it is. About tivazu v'gam mashal achareha ein tzarich lichsos l'klal, but from the letters afterwards that you don't have to cover, and that's the at all. So in the Piskei Tshuvos, he pretty much says you got to figure it out based on the context. Meaning, is the context, if the letter before or after, is that really going to make a difference for the child? In both directions. I mean, sometimes it has to do with the size, and sometimes it has to do. So you have to use. There's no halacha mush mi Sinai, and whether you cover up letters before or after, it's really a judgment call. What I do with ones that know a little bit. So, meaning if my closest Tinoch is Tuvia or Shira, I will have them read the letters backwards. I mean, that way they won't really be able to figure out what the words are, but they'll be able, but you still will see the context in terms of judging from one letter to the next what they are. If it's Yosef, he's, you know, he has enough trouble reading it as it is. I don't have to go there with him yet. But if you, I found that if you read it backwards, they don't really figure out what letter is coming based on the context of the. You can't really figure out the context that quickly, especially if I will cover up the other side like with a thumb or something, and then they'll read backwards, and usually it will. So far that seems to have worked. Now, okay, I mean the whole issue with She'elas Tinoch I have found is a problem because there are some who. We discussed that other times. Not really on topic now. Okay, so that is the what's the distinction? Meaning the Ramah, when he says that if it's divided up, that means that you have a nun that is cut down the middle and it's a different letter, right? So that's going to be a problem, as opposed to what the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim is talking about, is when it's cut across, or perhaps even the bottom part might be erased, but what remains still remains the letter, right? What remains, even after the cut, is still considered to be a vav and not a yud, or a nun sufis and not a zayin. And how do you judge that? So the katan will judge that. And really, to figure that out, you would really need context to figure out to figure out how long is long enough. You'd really have to judge it against another letter that is next to it. Okay, I mean these halachos are somewhat complicated to the point that I don't quite have a good tfisa on it. For example, sometimes you'll have a yud that will cover the entire size of the line. Right? To the point that, right, you might have a yud following the letter hey, and the yud might be almost as large as the hey is. But it's still a perfectly formed yud in the context of itself. Right? If you look at it on its own, it will look like a yud. But if you look at it next to a hey, it looks very, very large. And perhaps then halachically would qualify as a vav. So how do you judge those two? That scenario, I have never had a clean read on that. I mean, I thought like a mezuzah should be puzzle for that reason. I remember my somebody I was working with said, "Why? It's a good yud." I'm like, "Yeah, but it's so big." He's like, "Yeah, but if you look out on its own, it's a yud." So I've never really figured out what the klal is. How to paskin shailas like that. Okay, so that is the issue of these tears, and now we move to Siv Beis, which is I would have skipped this over, but it actually ends up being a very interesting to figure out some of the background here, something that I hadn't figured out what something was until we learned this siman. So what does it say here? So this is in Sif Beis, and it's truthed straight out of the Torah. That's why I didn't put any Torah on. And the Torah is quoting it straight out of the Masecha Sofrim. So what is the Masecha Sofrim? So Masecha Sofrim is found in the back, traditionally, of a Maseches Avodah Zarah in the standard Vilna Shas. And it's a collection, at least I always assumed, it was kind of a collection, it's a brisa, or a collection of brisos about Hilchos Sifrei Torah and other Hilchos Stam. That's what I always assumed it was. Now I realize it's a little bit more based on this sim. But anyways, this is being quoted out of the Maseches Sofrim. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say? A Sefer Torah Shebalu Mimenu Yurios. That if Yurios of them were Balu. Now, what does balu mean? Started fraying, or started going bad. What are urios? So what are urios? So we have, the entire time, have been translating urios as panels, right? Columns are dafim, and urios are panels, right? That seems to be the assumption, at least the way most people understood this simon here. So Sefer Torah shebalu mimenu urios, ubal lahachlifam, and now you want to switch it out. Right, there is something. The urios was a problem, and now you want to switch it out. Afilu lo balu mimenu ela achas oshtayim. Even if only one or two of them were balu, even if only one or two, again of what? Sounds like of the urios, right? Of the panels were fraying. Tzarech lahachlif shalosh. You need to put three of them in. You need to replace three of them. Why? Because it's not possible that when you put a replacement parchment in, it's going to completely match that which comes after it. So therefore, you should have at least three of what? It sounds like three panels that are of the same vintage. And that way you will, that way it won't look so bad. Something like that. That way it will be okay. I think in Joel Kessler's Torah in the shul, I think it's, in Joel Kessler's Torah in the shul, it's actually made from four different sofrim, right? You could see pretty clearly as you go from one to the next that the handwriting is changing over the course of a Sefer Torah. So it seems like this halachos is saying is that if you have a panel that has frayed, you have to take the panel out. And not only that panel out, but it's inappropriate to just switch one panel. You actually have to switch three panels. And all of a sudden, that's pretty expensive, right? If you're talking about three panels, that's talking about 12 columns. That's already, that's already three partios, four partios or so of a Sefer Torah. That's a significant amount. So that is the way I think most understood this. Right. If you add the shach adds in umashu machzir yehei kmidas ksav harisha. And now what you return should be like the first ksav. And v'nira shetov shesofer harisha yikas from yefsher. And you could find the original sofer to write it. So that would be even better. So that seems to be the way that we're understanding this. So now if we continue on this source sheet here, right, page 5, I think. Yes. So page 5 is the Haktama to this Sefer. Oh, look at that. I got you guys here in the... Okay. To this Sefer. So this is, Maseches Tzitzis, Tefillin, Mezuzah, and Sefer Torah. So we don't cover any of those in the Daf Yomi, right? What are those? So there are these halachic collection of brisos that were put together that one could track down. So in the introduction here, so I was never sure what Maseches Sefer Torah was. I couldn't find that. I didn't know what that was. So in the I should have read the introduction. But in the introduction, he explains as follows. He says 30 years ago, this is Rav Chaim Kanievsky, right? Rav Chaim Kanievsky took these brisos and wrote his Sfarim on it. The story goes, I'm not sure how documented this is, but the story goes that Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a whole mahalach to finish the entire Kol Torah Kula every year. I mean, to learn, I guess that means all of Tanakh, Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi, Midrashim, maybe Rambam, I'm not sure what he includes in Kol Torah Kula, but to conclude it every year, which means, you know, 7.5 dafim of Bavli and probably 4 dafim of Yerushalmi, you know, whatever. It's not like, you know, crazy if you're spending all day learning. But anyways, so he, they asked him once, wait a second, if you finish Kol Torah Kula every year, so then what do you do during leap years? Right? Because all of a sudden you have an extra 30 days, right? So what do? You just sleep longer every night? Like, how does that work? So he says, oh, during leap years, I write a sefer. Okay. So I think these are that's the way the story, at least when I was in yeshiva, that was the story they told over. So here he says about 30 years ago, right, I started printing on the 5 mesechtos of the 7 mesechtos ketanos shenosofu ala shas that were added on to shas. So there's 7, right? There's 7. 5 of them I wanted to write a commentary on in Biurim. Vehei Maseches Tzitzis, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Avodas Kusim. V'shtayim ha'achiros shehim Maseches Sefer Torah v'geirim. So those are the other two. So lo chashti lahatfisam, and the other two I didn't think to publish on them, b'fil shemaseches Sefer Torah kalula kula b'maseches Sofrim, because Maseches Sefer Torah is all included in Maseches Sofrim. U'kfar yish harbi mefarshim sham, and there's many mefarshim that are on Maseches Sofrim. And Maseches Geirim also Kfar Pirshu Agon Bal Nachlas. Yaakov is already a good commentary on Hilchos Geirim. V'cheis nimlachti, I saw she roi lahashim es hamalacha, that I wanted to finish up. V'afa pishe kfar yesh meforshim, even though there are many meforshim on it, ein adam nugeya b'muchan l'chavero, afil kamali neima, u'chol echad yesh hamachalchus v'tor, right? Nobody touches their others, even within a hair, and everybody has their own chelek, so it's worth it to write anyways. And then when I started to looking into Maseches Sefer Torah, Reisi Shem Maseches Sofrim Yesh Harbe Shinuyim Vahosafos. There's many additions, And this is why I couldn't figure out what the Sefer Sefer Torah is. I figured if it's Masechta Sofrim, then it should match up. And it didn't match up. He says, so I always thought Masechta Sefer Torah was just the first five chapters of Masechta Sofrim. But he says, but then I looked into it, and I realized that that's not the case. There's a lot in Masechta Sofrim in addition to what is in Masechta Sefer Torah. And he says also, as the Rush points out in Hilchos Sefer Torah Simen Yud Gimel, Masechta Sefer Torah he brisa. He says the Masechta Sefer Torah itself is a brisa, as the Beis Yosef says, and Umesadri Masechta Sofrim hichnisu behe prakim harishonim kol Masechta Sefer Torah. So when they were writing Masechta Sofrim, which was around the year 800, which is already after the closing of the Shas. Right? When they were writing that, they weren't just writing Maseches, they didn't just take the first five chapters of Maseches Sefer Torah, but they added a lot of extra things from the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. V'yesham kamashinuyim, and there's many changes, u'braisezu tzricha biur, and therefore this braise itself needs an explanation about many things, and therefore I put a lot of work into it, and actually put in two explanations, which I called the Klaf and the Duchsustus, which one is a simpler explanation, the Chus is a more thorough explanation, and because both of them are really kosher parts of the Sefer Torah anyways, as it was for a Sefer Torah anyways, as we learned earlier, and that's the reason that I gave that's the reason I put together this parish. Okay, so with that introduction then, about the difference between Masechta Sefer Torah and Masechta Sofrim, we can take a look at the actual page that this is quoted from. So if I already saw something was up, because I saw in the tour, I didn't put the tour on the sheet, but the tour said that it's in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Beis, Zion. So I quickly opened this up, see if it was here, in Masechta Sefer Torah. But Masechta Zion is not that, but if you go to, but it's in the next one, Ches. Beis Ches says, Yuriya Shabal, so lo yitul shayim, don't take two and return two. Rather, you should take three and return three. Umashahu machzir kamidas ksavarishim. And that which you return should try to match up with the first writing. Okay, so what is he talking about? So if you take a look at the, in the Duchsustus, he says, take a look at the klaf. Okay, so if you take a look at the commentary on the left side, so what does he say? How does he explain it? The klaf is the simpler understanding. It says, "Uval hachlifa afilu lo balu mimenu ela achas ushtayim." Tzarech lachlif shlosha lefish yir shashu osan shemachlif domus legami lacheres. It says, meaning if one or two are messed up, so then you should replace three because you want to have three in a row. Ulekach tzarech shihu lifchos shalosh domus. You have three that are the same, and actually, it doesn't say it ever clearly here, but it seems like the understanding is that you're replacing three panels. Plus, after all, that's what the word urios means. So if we go to the right side of the page, in the Dosustus, he says, take a look at the Chacham Tzvi. So the Chacham Tzvi, the truth is, the Pischei Tshuva also says to look at the Chacham Tzvi, but doesn't actually quote the Chacham Tzvi. He doesn't tell you what he says. He just says, go take a look in the Chacham Tzvi. Right, and then he quotes others that argue. So the, by the way, who is the Chacham Tzvi? So the Chacham Tzvi was Rav Yaakov Emden's father. If one is interested, on the Svarim Chatter podcast, so he has an interview with Rabbi Yossi Levine, who is the rabbi of the Jewish Center in Manhattan, and he wrote recently completed a dissertation on the Chacham Tzvi, which is interesting because Rabbi J.J. Schachter, who was a previous rabbi of the Jewish Center, wrote his dissertation on Rav Yaakov Emden, who's the son of the Chacham Tzvi. So, but he says that that wasn't really what impacted his decision. You can listen to the Svarim Chatter yourself. But anyways, so he says, but look at the tshuvas of the Chacham Tzvi, Chalak al HaTur, who disagrees with the Tur. He said, we have found other places where we talked about taking out a urea and never said, oh, by the way, when you take a urea out, you have to replace three of them, right? They never said that. So, because of the Peirush HaBraisa urea, Shebalsa Hainu Shebalak Tzas Mimena. He says when it talks about the urea that was shabalsa, that became, I don't know, frayed for back of a letter term, right? Hainu, what are we talking about? Shabala tsas mimena, when some of the urea, when some of the panel became bad. Kagon beis dafim, for example, if two dafim of the urea went bad, vialzeka amar lo yitol shnayim viyachsor shnayim. And that's what he's saying. Don't take out two and put back two. Shari asr lasos urea pachas mi gimel dafim. Plus you can't have a urea less than three dafim, as we learned earlier. V'lachein notel gimel umachsir gimel. So rather you have to take out three and replace gimel. However, imishba vav dafim. In order to do that, you need to have six dafim. Right? So that's the explanation the Chacham Tzvi is giving. He's not talking about replacing three entire panels. He's talking about replacing three dafim. Meaning you can't have one or two dafim, columns that are different than other ones. You have to have at least three that look that way. So you could take, if you have two that are a problem, you have to replace, you have to take three of the dafim out. However, the Chacham Tzvi is saying, when can you do that? Only if that urea happens to have six dafim in it, right? If it doesn't, so then you're going to be stuck and you have to replace the entire urea. He says, "Uva emes davar halamud meinyano debahachi mayri kan uva mesecha sofrim beemes hifsik sham bekama halachos." He says, and the truth is that which where we learned it from the source, that this is found in Masechah Sofrim. Be'emes hifsik sham bekama halachos. He actually missed several halachos there. About misadari Masechah Sofrim, heitiku mikan, right? V'darkan lahachnis od halachos miyushalmi. He says Masechah Sofrim generally takes the Masechah Sefer Torah and adds in a couple of halachos from the Yerushalmi, umi'od, and from other places. V'sadruhu ha-ga'onim k'mo she'kasav ha-rash. And the ga'onim put it together like the Rush said. Aval kan, but here, shehu atak me'ha-braisa didan. But here, they took out from our braisa. U'braisa didan mayri kan bedaf ushtayim shabala. And our braisa is clearly talking about one or two dafim shabala. Right? What? Why? Because in the previous sif, right? I don't remember what I put on the source sheet here. But the previous sif is, so go back a page, right? The previous sif, which is on page 7, is talking about leaving off a daf. Right, gamer kol ha-sefer v'shayer bo daf echad. Also, so urea katana b'fnei atzmi. You can make its own urea at the end. So then, if we're talking about dafim, so then you can understand ches a little bit better as being urea shabalsa lo yitol shnayim. Right, a urea shabalsa don't take off two. Right, so in a vacuum, take off two of what? Right, the only noun that we have in that passage is a urea. Right, so therefore, he must be talking about taking off ureas. But if you go back to Zion, so Zion says no. Zion is talking about the interplay of dafim and ureas. So therefore, you could read that into Ches as talking about taking off dafim rather than just taking off ureas. And by the way, if you go to page 6. So I put on the page from Masechta Sofrim where you could see that halacha Ches, right in the middle of the page here, it says Shir Hadaf Kadesh Shehei. I'm sorry, Zion, Urea Shabalsa lo yitol shnayim v'yachzor shnayim, right? Zion, which is in Sefer Torah is Ches, right, is only Zion there. And the section before is not the same halacha. It's not talking about the halachas of a daf at the end of the urea. It is talking about shlosh dafim, but within the context of a urea, and therefore it would be... therefore suggests from Chaim Kanievsky that you would not be able. That's why many understood that as being a different halacha about removing urea, several ureos, as opposed to removing several dafim. So that's that. If we go back up, on page 2. So when we look at the Pisrei Tshuva where this is quoted, so the Pisrei Tshuva there in Reish Pei Sif Zayin, right? So on the left side there it says Ulakach Tzarich Ayin Ber Hetiv V'Shem Chacham Tzvi, right? He quotes this Chacham Tzvi. Va'ayin B'Tshuvos give us Shaul simin kufav shehisik alav, and it argues on him. Va'Allah she'ein lazuz mipsaka shulchan aruch, that we shouldn't turn away from the psaka of shulchan aruch. The tzarich lahachlev shalosh yirios ayin sham v'ayin mitshuvos mashu v'dihelon panim miiros, and in the tshuvos of the chsam sofer. So I'm not sure. I'm not able to pull up all of these tshuvos here, but it could very well be that the givas shaul argues on the chacham tzvi. But perhaps with the addition of Masechta Sefer Torah, which I'm not sure was as available then as it is today, perhaps maybe we wouldn't paskin that way. So I don't know. The Maisa, what do we do? Do we paskin like the Chacham Tzvi? Do we paskin like everybody else? I'm not sure. I think at the bottom line, it's pretty rare that you would have to replace an entire daf or entire Yerios, although we did have maybe a few occasions earlier of how that would possibly come up, like if you miss a line or something like that in the context of the rest of the section, you know, something like that, it could happen. But in terms of just understanding these brisos, where they're coming from, the Masecha Sofer versus the Masecha Sefer Torah, so that was a helpful thing that I hadn't yet understood until tonight. Okay.
How many columns are on a panel?
A panel is, I think, a minimum of 3 and a maximum of, I think we had a maximum also, a maximum of 9 maybe? I don't remember. 8, 9.
You would never cut a panel if you had to.
Well, that's what the Chacham Tzvi is suggesting. He was saying you would cut a panel, right? If you would.
That's what he's saying. He's cutting a panel, man.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. He said, but in order, if you're going to replace a column, you need to a urea has to have a minimum of 3 panels. So therefore, you would cut a panel. Yeah. I think that's what the Chacham Tzvi is saying. Okay. So it was a little early. I thought I'd have more time this afternoon to get back to this, but didn't. So that's what this is what I got up to this morning. This is a preparation. The next sif I see is talking about who is permitted to write a Sefer Torah, and so I guess Mir Sashem will pick up with that next week.
What was the understanding that was against the Chacham Tzvi?
I think the simple understanding of the Shulchan Aruch. The truth is, I didn't see really who said that simple understanding, but I think that's what he meant. I mean,
it's talking about
and replacing an entire urea, that you need to have 3 ureos in a row that are the same size. Otherwise, it looks bad. But that's a little difficult. First of all, 3 ureos in a row that are the same size, we're talking about 9 columns, right? You're never going to see them next to each other. So I don't know. What about
the urea that's after that? That'll also look bad.
Right? Right. So it sounds like with 3, you establish a chazaka, meaning it is permitted to have multiple sofrim right together, but each one has to contribute at least 3 columns. So, that's the way it is. Okay. Nashakoch. We'll stop here. Good to see everybody. I'm going to pick up
next
week.
I may want to make it a little later next week. I don't know.
Because of Marv. Yeah. Ugh, we're in that time of year. Okay, we'll figure it out. Also not a great option. Okay. All right, have a good evening.